But it's all good. So, Lord's definitely here this morning. I'm good, glad to be back and get to see everybody. And hope everybody's having a good Memorial Day. And I figured it'd be fitting to share this to start out. So, I was kind of in my scripture here, and I found out, I don't know if you guys may know this or not, but with it being Memorial Day, if you haven't cooked steaks yet, did you know that the Bible actually tells you how you're supposed to cook your steak? I don't know if you know that or not. But where it talks about Scripture saying, well done, good and faithful servant, that's where it says, well done. It's supposed to be well done. It's funny, I was telling a friend of mine about that, and they said that was borderline blasphemous because I guess they like their steak medium rare. So we had a whole theological debate going on with that. But I'm going to stick with the well done. I think that's pretty good. So, but if you do have your scriptures, we're going to be in Daniel, and obviously in this passage, stakes are going to be a little bit higher, and we're going to do something a little bit different today, because I've been studying the book of Daniel for the last 2 or 3 months now. I've been in it a lot, so I figured this is kind of a good opportunity to share kind of what God's been teaching me through that book. I thought about it. We could have gone chapter by chapter. It'd probably take us 12 hours with it being 12 chapters, but we're not going to do that today. You're going to get kind of the crash course version of it, because we're going to be going around and through different portions of it. And we're going to start in chapter 1 to kind of set up what's going on. And the title of the message today is Excel in the Exile, because we're going to see what the book of Daniel is all about. I mean, a lot of the stories here you're going to be familiar with, but we're going to take some different portions of it and kind of see what this idea, because I felt like the Lord brought this idea to me of this excel and the exile, because if you see in the beginning of Daniel, and we're going to go ahead and just read that portion right now, just a very short portion, and we'll see what we're talking about. It's verses 3 through 6, and it says, then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, to bring some of the children to Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles. Young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had the ability to serve the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them for a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now from among those were the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Which those are translated, that's actually Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which we'll get to them here in just a little bit. But this story starts out, the whole book of Daniel is about, it begins with Israel being exiled because Babylon comes and captures them, basically ransacks their nation and takes it over. And so Daniel and some of his friends are being forced to go to Babylon, and they find these guys because they see how excellent they are in what they do. And it, you know, as it says in that scripture, it talks about how good looking they are, they're gifted, they're knowledgeable. I mean, these are pretty high skilled guys. And so Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon at the time, he wants them to be in his court. He wants to, and basically what he's trying to do is teach them the ways of Babylon and their culture, so that then they can trickle that down to the rest of the society and basically transform Israel into a whole different nation that they were not once. And part of that is taking over their faith, teaching them different ways than what God has taught them. So that part is a part of a calibration. And this first point that you see on the screen is what I call the Miles mindset, and exalt extreme faith so you don't fear, because that's where it all starts. It starts with our faith. And this idea that I have with Miles' mindset, it's a long journey. It says in here that they were going to train him for 3 years. So part of, for us, when it comes to studying our scripture and studying our word, is we're not going to just get everything all at once. It takes time. It takes discipline. It takes studying. And so it's very important that we're constantly in our scripture and knowing that it's a long journey. It's an endurance that as we grow in our walk with the Lord, we're going to be learning more and more each and every day. But like I said, it's not going to just come to us all at one time. That's where it's important that, yes, we're in church on Sunday morning, we get our, you know, we get the word from that, but it's even more important that we're in our scripture every single day,
in our own time that we're learning that. Because if we're just getting scripture once a week, I mean, think about it. If you're just feeding yourself once a week, you're going to go pretty hungry throughout the rest of the week if you only have one meal through the course of the week. So it's important that we're feeding ourselves scripture daily, taking it in so that we're learning more and more. And so one of the things that we've did with our youth just this last week is we ended the school year and we talked about this idea of beginning with the end in mind. And basically what that means is like you're thinking long term about how you want your life to be set up. What does your legacy look like? And I mean, this is, we're talking with middle school, high school kids, and they've got a long runway, hopefully for the rest of their life. I mean, now the Lord may have different plans for them, but, you know, if they live a long life, they still have a long ways to go to live. And so it's important for them to even start thinking that now of how do they want to live their life for God? What does that look like? And so we talked a little bit about legacy, but it's that same idea of like we have this mindset in our mind that we're going to live for God and we're going to endure and we're going to live no matter what. Because this sets up to where, obviously with Daniel and his friends, they've had some faith and they've had some faith background, but now, as this story sets up, they're going to go through some really tough stuff. And it's important that even in our own walk, we know that we're going to go through trials, we're going to go through things that are hard. And so we have to go ahead and decide and make up our mind of what are we going to do. It's like I tell our youth too all the time, and even this was my mindset growing up. You know, we'll take alcohol, for example. You know, the kids would be in school, and they're going to have peer pressure. They're going to have things that kids are going to ask them to do, things that may be against what they've been taught, against their faith, against probably what their parents want them to do. And so it's important for them to make up their mind ahead of time and say, I'm not going to do this, or I'm going to stand firm in this. That way, when that temptation comes or that peer pressure comes, we've already decided. We've decided what we're going to do. And so it's important in our faith to make sure that we're doing the same thing, that when something comes up or somebody's going to tell us, you know, hey, are you going to basically stand firm for God, or are you going to deny that stuff? Like, what, you know, is that Christianity stuff really important to you? And you tell them, like, no, this is important. This is what I'm going to stand firm on. And when you do that, you've already established that foundation. So it's like pre-deciding what you're going to do before it even happens. And then this other idea that I have with that is whenever a trial comes, we can have two mentalities on how we're going to take approach of it. We can either look at it and say, kind of poor me, I'm going through this, this is hard. And we can ask God for that, and sometimes it's okay to ask God why we're going through something. But we, and that's, you know, we can get caught up in that and get caught up in, you know, kind of the pitiful mindset, and that becomes a victim mindset. Or we can say, you know what, I don't understand maybe why God has this happening, but I'm going to be victorious through it. And that's the idea, too, with the being the excel and the exile, is that no matter what happens, we're going to choose in our mind that we're not going to be in this victim state, that we're going to be decide, you know what, yeah, this is hard, and I'm not sure how God's going to get me through it, but I'm going to still be a victor through it. I'm going to be victorious in Him. I'm going to rely on Him for His strength and endurance through it, and I'm going to get through it. You know, one of the verses that I go to often is James in chapter 1, where it says, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, because the testing of your faith produces all kinds of endurance and strength. And basically it's just telling you that, yes, it's during the trial, it may not be fun to go through it, and obviously some things aren't, but what the joy is what it's going to produce later on. It's going to produce strength in your faith. It's going to produce courage in your walk with God. It's going to make you, hopefully make you stronger. And that's where you get to decide. When you go through something that's hard, you get to decide, how am I going to handle this? Am I going to become stronger because of this, or am I going to become weaker? And so it's just making that decision ahead of time too. Even though it's hard, you can still persevere and become stronger in the end. So prepare for it. But also don't let it define you. Because trials don't have to define us. It's God is the one that defines us. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a minute as well. So now that we shift in the scene, I'm going to go to chapter 3. So we'll switch over there. Because like I said, we set it up here. They're going through exile. The Israelites have been cast out of their own nation and been sent to Babylon. And they're being basically indoctrinated, trained in a different way. But we'll see how some of Daniel's friends, mainly Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they end up standing firm in their faith. So I'm not going to read this whole story for time's sake, but we're going to kind of basically just get the key point here, and it's in 16 verses 25. So go ahead and read that here. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. And that is, he asked a question about what God's going to deliver him. So that's what they're talking about, is what kind of, that they don't even feel they need to answer him, but they're going to answer him anyways. It says, if that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression of his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded them that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, Did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said to the king, True, O king. Look, he answered, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. So there's a lot there. And so it starts out just before that passage that I read, that what was happening, and I guess most of you are probably familiar with the story, is Nebuchadnezzar sets up a gold statue and basically says everybody needs to bow down and worship this statue. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are the only ones that say, you know what, we're not going to do that because we worship God. And so that's part of where trials come. Trials will come sometimes when you are willing to stand firm and serve God, even when maybe the rest of the culture does not. And that's part of how that gets formed, is we have to go ahead and pre-decide, like I said, we have to decide in our mind that no matter what the rest of the culture is going to do, I'm still going to stand and serve God. It's like I tell our youth and kids all the time, it's like, I don't care what the rest of the culture do. If the rest of the culture decides to go off the cliff, I refuse to go off the cliff with the rest of humanity. And that's hard for our kids sometimes, because we live in a culture that is so much about belonging and peer pressure and all these things, and I'm not against those things. I tell our kids all the time, like, it's important to belong. You want to belong. But when belonging is over here and it's contradicting what God is saying, God wins every time. That's how our faith should be. We should follow him first. And if we're following him and then the belonging comes in, that's fine. But it's like, it's a hierarchy. God comes first, and then belonging and having friends and all that stuff comes next. So if it means that we may not have friends, maybe ostracized, maybe made fun of, it's still important that we stand firm for God. Obviously, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had, the stakes were much higher for them, because they were being thrown into a furnace for this. They're basically putting their lives on the line. And sometimes that might mean, I mean, I hope that none of us have to go through that, but sometimes we may have to put our life on the line for our faith, for God. And what's important here, and this is a highlight that I've had a lot lately in this passage, and it's in key what they say. They say, like, they have faith. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they are trusting that God is going to deliver them even in the midst of them being thrown into the furnace. But they say this key phrase, they say, even if God does not deliver us from the furnace, we still will not bow down to the other gods. They are still determined that even if God doesn't come through with them the way they want to, that they're still going to serve God. And that's the kind of faith that we have to have, because we don't know sometimes how God is going to work and how he's going to come through in our lives. He may not come through the way that we think or want or expect. But it's important that even in the midst of that, we have this kind of mentality of even if God does not do this, even if God doesn't do it the way we want to, we are still going to worship and serve him. I think that's so important that we have that kind of mindset of making sure that even if this happens, even if it goes this way, I am still going to serve God no matter what. I think that's really important. Now, this trials testing I put on there, exercise exclusive fit so you don't fatigue. And the reason why I did that is because I know I've shared a couple of these stories before. I'll just be quick about them, because one of the things that I wanted to do with this whole sermon is I wanted to provide practical things that all of us can do when we're going through tough times and trials, or even that word exile. The reason why I put that word exile is because I don't think it's just a normal trial. I mean, obviously we see they're being cast out of their nation, they're being cast out of their home. This is a big deal. And so it's the thing, it's like we all go through trials. We may go through small trials. It might be like somebody's bothering us at work. Maybe it's, maybe the kids are not in the best mood. Like, I think those are small things compared to some of the big things. And we've all had a couple big things, like maybe you've lost a loved one. That's a pretty big one. Maybe somebody's walked out on you in a business deal. That's probably a big one. And so that's where I feel like the trials can be a little bit smaller, but it's like when I think of exile, I think big. Like, this is a big deal. And you're going through something that's really hard. And it's probably not something that's, whereas some of these trials might be, you know, here today and gone tomorrow. It's like, you know, going through a tough time in exile. I mean, it could last for months, years. So it's very hard. And the reason why I bring this up is because there are some things that we can do to get us, like, out of that mindset I was talking about. It's going to be easy to slip into the victim mentality. And it's important, I think, that we slip out of that and we actually get into a victorious mindset in the midst of it, because yeah, it's going to be hard, and there are going to be days that you're going to have to really fight through it and seek after the Lord. But there are some other practical things that we can do, and one of those things is exercise. And I know for me, like last year I was here and I shared about, at this time I lost my job, just suddenly got laid off. That was a big deal. Like, I'd worked with the company for about 4 or 5 years, and basically they just walked in one day unannounced basically and just said, "We're doing layoffs, and we got to let you go." And boy, that was definitely hard for me, because it's like, okay, God, what are you doing here? Like, I don't understand it. But in the midst of that, we still trust him. And one of the things that I was very intentional about doing is, I mean, I do exercise, but I went harder into it. I pressed in. I got more intense in my exercise, not less. I mean, one, it helped. I had a little more time because I was, you know, not working 8 to 5 every day. And so my schedule definitely changed a little bit, but it allowed me to press in even harder. And so that's where I encourage you, if you're going through something, you know, maybe it means you exercise more, get more intense about it. It could be the same thing. I mean, obviously the first thing is with God, and we should always be, like I said, we should be reading his word daily. But sometimes during those tough times, it forces us, or I'd hope it forced us, to maybe press in a little bit more into God and see what he's doing. And, you know, seeking him in prayer, seeking him in his word, seeking maybe other people that are Christians to see their take on it. And so that's certainly something I encourage you to do. But this exercise thing, it's just something about, you get your endorphins going, and it just helps you. It keeps you upbeat, keeps you positive in the midst of going through something hard. And that's what even exercise teaches you. You know, you're going through a race or going through a tough workout or whatever. Yeah, in the moment, you're tired. But I don't know. I don't know if you've had this experience or not. I know for me, I have. It's like, after I get done with that, yeah, I'm tired, I'm exhausted, but there's something that feels good about that, like knowing that you accomplished something hard. And that's the same thing I think that our faith walk happens with, is when we get to the other side of it, yeah, it was hard, it was enduring, but we can look back and we can say, wow, like that was, you know, there was something good about that. And that's where, You know, even with my job situation, like, it was a hard time. There was a couple months there where I wasn't sure what God was going to do. But then the cool thing is he provided me a job that was even better. Had people I worked with that were just better people. The mission that I do is just something I'm more passionate about. And on top of that, I got paid more than I did my old job. So it's like God just, he brought it all together. And he can do that in your situation. You may be going through something right now, but that's the thing. God can restore that. He can do some incredible things on the other side of it if you continue to press in and trust him. You know, it's this, and the reason why this message is going to be important for all of us, because you may not be in a trial at all right now. You may be, life is great, everything is just going wonderful, and that is awesome. I'm glad for you. But there's this saying, you've probably heard it, you're either in one of three places. You're either about to go into a storm, you're in the storm, or you just got out of it. So you may be in that situation where you're not in that storm right now, but I hope this is a preparation for you, because if you've lived long enough, you know that a storm is going to be coming at some point, and sometimes you don't know when it's going to happen. And so hopefully this can be something that prepares you for that. And another thing that I saw that I thought was a good word that the Lord gave to me during the midst of this, that has to do with exercises. During this, I want what's called weight gain, which is W-A-I-T, not weight, W-E-I-G-H-T, gain. There's a difference. Obviously, if you have a bunch of W-E-I-G-H-T, weight gain, that's not healthy for you. But waiting, W-A-I-T, can be very healthy for us. I mean, Scripture talks all about being patient and waiting, and that's hard for us, especially in a society that is on demand now, drive-through, you know, convenience. It is hard for us to wait. But that's where I know, even, you know, like Larry is talking about, and being in this kind of community, you see it through farming. There's a lot of waiting time. And that's where, in that waiting time, we have to trust God in the midst of that, which is going to shift us to our third part of Daniel. We're going to be in chapter 6 now. And this is another familiar story about Daniel being in the lion's den. And we know that Daniel was very patient. We know he had to wait in a lot of different things. But we're also going to see this from the king's perspective of waiting here. And so I'm going to read verses 18 through 23. It says, "Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him." Which in that day, there was a lot of entertainment that came to the king. So that was a pretty big deal for him to not have any kind of entertainment. He was distressed, and so he decided to give that up for the night. "And also his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of the lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, 'Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?' Then Daniel said to the king, 'O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you.' Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he believed in his God." So there's a couple key things in there. And one, it says that Daniel had done no wrong. And we see through that story that Daniel didn't do anything wrong. Basically what happened is there was other governors and satraps that were jealous of Daniel. They wanted to be in the position he was in, because he was basically second in charge of the entire kingdom. And so these guys conspire against Daniel, and they basically go to the king and make a law that it's against the law to pray to the living God. And of course, Daniel has that same even if faith, which we should have. Obviously, we should, and Scripture talks about this, we should obey the laws of the land, as long as they don't contradict God's word. Now, if they contradict God's word, again, we have to decide which one we're going to go with. And obviously, in our faith, God's word prevails above all. So we honor God first, and then everything below that, as long as the laws of the land don't contradict his word, then we should still follow those laws. But obviously in this case, Daniel knew that it was important to pray and seek after God. Well, with this law being in place, Daniel makes a decision. He's not going to defy that. He's still going to pray to God. And so then what happens? They find out that Daniel's been praying to God. He's breaking that law. And that's where they put him in the lion's den. So, and that wrong is, God, or Daniel wasn't doing wrong in God's eyes. Daniel was doing the right thing. And so one of the things that we have to do in this third point is the while's waiting. And even while we're waiting, even when we're going through a tough time, it's important that we keep doing the right thing. Because there are going to be situations, and part of going through trials and going through, you know, an exile period, there's two ways to look at it. There's sometimes we go through trials because we just did something dumb, or we committed sin. And God will allow things to be hard for us because we definitely did not make the right choice. But that's not always the case. Sometimes we go through trials for other reasons. We may be doing the right thing the whole time. We may be seeking after God. We may be, you know, we're doing the right thing about loving other people around us and trying to honor him in everything we do. But trials still come. It's not like we have this faith to where if we do everything right and obey God, that it's just smooth sailing. I mean, we see that throughout Scripture, that we're still going to go through trials and tough times, even when we're being obedient and doing the right thing. And so this idea of keep doing the right thing is, there's going to be times where you're going through something and it's like you're honoring God, you're doing all the right things. You're seeking after him, you're trying to be obedient every single day, being humble before him, staying out of sin, doing all these different things, and yet the wrong thing is happening. Because we're people, it's like we're just wired this way, where it's like, if we do A, we expect B. And that's a good thing. We should expect a reward. We should expect the good, you know, right things to happen. It's like if we do something this way, we're expecting the right thing to happen. But it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes we're doing all the right things over here, and yet it's going the opposite. And especially it's hard when we'll see the opposite. We'll see we're over here doing the right thing, and we're getting the wrong result. And then you'll see somebody else that's not following God, that's in the world, and they're doing all these crazy, lousy, stupid things, and you think, well, they should get punished for that. They should see the bad result of that. And the opposite happens. It's like they're doing all these horrible things, and yet they're getting the good result, mainly the result maybe we want, and we're doing the right things. And that's hard, because it can be easy for us to say, well, we're going to give up because, well, so-and-so over here is doing all the wrong things, and they're getting the reward that we think we should get, and we're over here doing the right thing, and yet we're getting the wrong result, not what we're expecting. So that's a very hard place to be in, but that's where I encourage you to continue to wait, continue to do the right thing, because God will come through. He will judge the righteous and the unrighteous, and that's the thing. They may not see it in that day, and that's where the world comes in. They live in a short mindset. They live for today, here, and now, whereas a believer, our job is to live for the long term. And we may not see that right result. We may not even see it here on earth. We may have to wait till we get to heaven and eternity. I mean, if you read through Hebrews 11, it's the Hall of Faith chapter, and it's all about, I mean, they list some of the different stories of people that, yes, they had faith, and we see the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had faith, and they were delivered. But sometimes people weren't delivered. We saw, or you see in that chapter, you see people that are martyred for their faith. They're killed for their faith. And to me, that doesn't sound like a reward here on earth. But I can tell you that those kinds of disciples that gave their life on the line, and maybe they weren't spared, maybe they weren't delivered, they will have a reward in heaven. So it may not happen in this life, but that's where we have to have our faith. We place our faith in God that he's going to reward us for doing the right thing. And it may not be here on this earth, but it'll be for eternity. So some other things that you can do as far as in this, I put this other part, express exciting fun so you don't flee. And the reason why I put that is because it's important for us to keep our mind we want to obviously keep our mind focused on God first. But there are times where, and the way I heard it the other day is, there are distractions, and sometimes distractions can be good. And so, like, take for example, say you are in a line for a roller coaster ride at an amusement park, and it's a long wait. Now put in there, you probably got some kids that are with you, and they're probably like, are we there yet? Are we at the front of the line? Are we at the front of the line? I mean, I had this with my kids last week. We probably had to wait for 45 minutes for this trampoline thing that we went to at our town festival here a little over a week ago. And it was getting hot, and they were waiting, and yeah, they were just, it was hard. So we had to figure out, how can we keep them entertained, keep them occupied, so they're not focused on the waiting so much, and then when they get there, like, oh yeah, hey, we're already here. But that's sometimes how we have to do as well in the midst of our waiting. We can get our mind so fixated on just the waiting part that we drive ourselves crazy. And so that's where I encourage you, if you're going through something, a trial, don't be afraid to try some fun things or do something different. Like, get out and, you know, maybe it's talking with a friend that you haven't talked to in a while, or maybe it's, you know, going out and doing something that you haven't done in a while. Kind of get out and do fun, because the reason why, if you don't, because when you go through those hard seasons, you're so focused on the hard part, and there's a time and a place you should be, but sometimes it's okay to rest and enjoy life a little bit. You can get so caught up, and it goes back again to that victim mentality. If you're overdrive focused on that trial, and you're not having any, like, kind of instant fun in your life in that moment, then you're not really enjoying the moment, and you're just focused on your mind's so into the future that you're not even able to enjoy anything in the present. And so I think that's important that you do that. And the other thing that I want to point out within that, and kind of thinking in excitement terms, just thinking in, and we'll get into more of this with the fourth point about the future, is trusting that God is the one that's the author of your story. I think that's so important, because when you go through a trial, when you go through something that's hard, you kind of get stuck on that page. But how do you know? You don't know what God's going to do tomorrow. You may be just one page away from turning in your story to seeing that, you know, God is going to do something incredible. I mean, you've read books, I'm sure, watched movies where it's like, everything just seems to be going wrong in the one scene or the one page, but then the next scene happens and the next page is turned, and you see it suddenly the story changes in an instant. Like, that's where our God is a suddenly God. The story changes. We just saw that in chapter 3 again. The story suddenly changed. It looked like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were going to be in the fire and they're going to be burned up. But guess what? That fourth person in there, that was Jesus. He was showing up. And he showed up, and everything changed. They weren't even harmed by that fire. They didn't even smell like smoke, Scripture talks about. So it didn't even affect them. It's like they were in there probably dancing, having a good time. Same with Daniel. It says that the Lord shut the mouths of the lions. He intervened. It looked like Daniel was going to be ripped to shreds. But God saves him. And God can do the same in your life, whether, you know, you're going through a trial or whatever. Just in an instant, he can turn the story. So I think that's something important to think about too, is trusting that God is in charge. He is the one that is writing your story, and he can change it instantly. Now the last portion here is chapter 10. And this is where Daniel has a vision. And I'm not going to get into all the detail about the backstory of that, because that's a whole other thing. But I want to share this because this has to do with future and some thoughts I have here. So verses 12 through 19. And it says, then he said to me, and this is the angel of the Lord speaking to Daniel. It says, do not fear, Daniel, from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to me for help. And I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. When he had spoken such words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And suddenly, one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. And I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, "My Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I retain no strength. For how can this servant of my Lord talk with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength remains in me now, nor is any breath left in me." Then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, "O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong." So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, "Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me." So there's a lot of strengthening that's going on there. And Daniel, he's given a vision that's, as it says there, it's not yet come to pass. And that's where often, and we see this often in Scripture, where God will give us something and it will not come to pass for a time. That's where we have to have the patience and the waiting, but trusting that God, when God tells you that he's going to do something or gives you a promise, we can bank on it 100%. Now, it may not happen in our time frame, because usually it doesn't. It's like for me, I had a vision, and this would have been 2010, that I felt like God spoke to me that I was going to go and do adoption. Well, that didn't happen until 9 years later. And we see that throughout all Scripture, where we see like Joseph, he had the dream of the many colors of the coats, but it took him several years before he was second command in Egypt. He went through his brother selling him into slavery, being accused of wrongdoing and being sent to prison. So there's going to be things that happen along the way, and it looks like it's going the complete other direction, where it's like we ask ourselves, like, "God, I thought you were going to do this, and I'm like going the complete opposite direction." But God has a way of bringing it back, and he does it in his timing. He doesn't do it in our timing. So that's where we have to trust in him on the timing. Now, this is some more ideas of just how we should focus our, when we're going through a trial, going through something hard, a couple just kind of nuggets here of what I've seen on reframing our mind a little bit to show us how we can think differently in the midst of it. Because like I said, it gets easy for us to kind of get stuck when we're in a trial. And we get stuck just kind of thinking like, "Why me, God? Or how am I going to get through this?" And don't get me wrong, it can be hard to see. It can be very hard to see in those times when you're in the midst of that storm. I mean, because think about a storm. You can't really see very far, right? So your vision is kind of blurred a little bit, but that's where we have God, who has the ultimate vision and can see everything. And so that's where we trust in him. And when we hear from him, we can cling on to that. We can cling on to his promises and know that he's going to be with us in the midst of it. One of those things is when we go through something hard, like take my job loss, for example, the question that I've heard a lot over this, and I've tried to use this when I go through any kind of trials, even trials I'm going through now, is what does this make possible? That's turning something that you think, like, you start thinking, like, why me? And instead of that, what does this make possible? Like, seeing that God has opportunities that could be in front of you, doors that could be opened up, new ventures, new different things. Like, that's where, you know, use the example, it's like, well, if a business client or somebody drops you, yeah, that's hard. That may have been one of your top people that you relied on. But God's the source, and so then asking the question, what does this make possible? Well, maybe we start a new partnership. We find somebody that is, you know, in business that maybe comes along, they're actually better than the past business partner. So it's this idea of what does this make possible? I think that's an important question that we should ask ourselves when we're going through something like that, because it can open up all kinds of opportunities, opens up our mind to different things on what God could be doing or what God wants to do. Because God is a God that he will sometimes end things, and we don't always understand why he ends something, but it's an opportunity for us for a new beginning. It's just like that story I was telling about. It may be the end of one chapter, but God's got more chapters. Your story's not finished yet. You have more chapters to be written in your story. As long as you're breathing and alive on this earth, you have more chapters that are ahead. So we'll see what the next chapter is. And, you know, having that mindset of being open to, okay, God, what's my next chapter look like? And then he starts writing that. The other thing that I saw, too, that was pretty encouraging to me is this quote of, "The pain today is the power for tomorrow." And so, yeah, you're going to go through pain. in the midst of your trial. But how are you going to use that pain? Are you going to use it and just stay in it? Or are you going to use it to make yourself stronger and also help other people? That's why I even mentioned this as a crash course, because I think it's good when we read stuff. I mean, basically what you're doing when you read books, and I encourage you to read as many books as you can, because what it's doing is a lot of people take their whole life story or a good portion of it, something they went through, and they condense it into something that you can read in a couple hours. And I think that's powerful, because you can take that, what they learned, and hopefully if they, you know, because they're probably going to share some mistakes they made along the way and how they fell short and how they were not, you know, whatever it was that they did, they, you know, or what they could have done better. And you get to learn that. And hopefully you learn it there, so maybe you may not have to go through it later. But maybe you will. And if you do have to go through it later, well, then you're all that more equipped to go through it. And that's what I hope that this is doing for all of us today, is it's equipping us to go through whatever we go through next. Because I think it's important that we're all strong going through trials. Like, it doesn't mean that we get it right every time, because we all sin, we all fall short of the glory of God, as Scripture says. But it's important that we remain strong in our faith and walking with Him during those trials. Because, I mean, if there's anywhere where Satan's going to try to get us to fall and lose our faith, it's through something hard like that, going through a trial, whether it was because it was something you did or something that you didn't do. Because, like I said, there's going to be times we go through things and it wasn't our fault. We were just trying to do the right thing and honoring God and all that we do, but it still comes along. And then this last thing, that these last few days, even leading up to preparing this, there's this quote that, like, it just kept, I kept listening to different sermons, and I kept getting, like, from all kinds of different people, I kept getting this word about nothing is wasted. And so that's having that mindset. When you go through something hard, trust that God is not wasting what you're going through. He has a reason for it. He may not reveal it to you right now. He may not reveal it to you 10 years from now. I don't know. Sometimes He does, sometimes He doesn't. He may not reveal it to you till you are walking through the gates of heaven. But knowing our God is a God that does not waste anything. He will not waste your pain you're going through. He will not waste that trial that you're going through. He is going to use it in some way, shape, or form. And you may not know how right now, and that's okay. But trusting that He will use it for good. That's a promise I've been clinging on to a lot the last 3 months, this idea that, you know, God takes what the enemy meant for evil and He turns it for good. He is a God that does that all the time. Every single time He will do that. And we don't always know how He's going to do it or when He's going to do it, but He will do it. That is a promise from Him, that He will take what the enemy meant for evil and He will turn it for good. I mean, we see that ultimately on the cross. That's what He did on the cross. When Christ went to the cross, Satan thought he'd won. He thought he had killed God. But God had a bigger plan. He died on that cross for forgiveness of sins for you and I, and so that we could have access to Him in eternal life. And that right there, that is the greatest example of that entire promise, is He took what the enemy meant for evil and He turned it for good. And I think that's pretty awesome right there. We can cling on to that. And so I want to close with just a couple different things. One is, I've heard this song on the radio. It just came out not too long ago. You may have heard it, may not. But it ties in. And it's funny that this song came out. I had a lot of stuff already going with preparing for this, but I didn't have a title. So I kind of used my title a little bit for this. But it's like a song that I've been listening to probably about every day the last 3 weeks or so. And it's called Even in Exile by Crowder. And some of the words to it are just so powerful. It says, hope is not lost, hope is not gone, even in exile. And then it ends with, even in exile, marching on. And it's all about trusting in God, trusting that, you know, God is a miracle worker in the midst of that. God is a provider in the midst of that. God is with us in the midst of that. You know, Scripture says that God is close to the brokenhearted. And when you're going through something, God promises He'll be near. And I often found times that when you're going through a trial, going through something hard, God is actually closer to you in those times than He is any other time, especially if you allow Him to be. And so I think that's important to press into that, to lean into that. because it is a testing of your faith and it's a testing of your soul. And I was thinking about this, that it seems like about 10, 12 years ago, I heard this question a lot and it's come back to me. And I think it's important that we ask this question a lot more regularly for all of us, because it's not even about being here so much. It's about where our eternity's at and where that lies. So you're going to go through hard things and you're going to make mistakes. You're going to sin and fall short, as we all do. But ask yourself in the midst of that trial, because it is really a testing of, how is your soul? There's that song, "It Is Well With My Soul." And hopefully that's where you go through that trial. If you know that even in the midst of that trial, you're doing the right thing, that you're still going to be able to say, "It is well with my soul," that I don't have regrets, that I did the right thing. Yeah, it was hard, but God brought me through it. And so that's where that sanctification comes in, because Scripture talks about He's going to sanctify us through and through. He's in a refining process. He puts us in the fire, not because He wants to harm us. He puts us in the fire, He puts us through those tough times, because He wants our faith in Him to be stronger. He wants our relationship in us in Him to be stronger than it ever was. And we can use that as a platform, as a testimony to other people, that when they're going through hard times, they can see, okay, well, this person made it through. How did they make it through? Well, here's how we made it through. And that's part of what I was trying to do today, is showing you some Scripture, but also practical things of, this is how you make it through. You rely on God. You seek after Him. You do some of these other things, like exercising and seeking out other people, maybe having some fun along the way, trying to mix things up, do new things. That's where, like, for me, even in the midst of what I'm battling right now, I've been doing a lot of new things. I made my kids dirt dessert the other day. I'd never done that before. Trying new things, trying to do different, just experimenting, doing different ideas, and just expanding on what I can do and who God wants me to be, because that's what we should be. That's part of growth. Because that's what's going to happen in a trial. You're either going to grow through that trial or you're going to die through that trial. And I don't know about you, but I want to grow through it. And so that's the decision we have today, is when you're going through something, you can either choose to grow through it or you're going to let it take you. And so I'm going to pray for us, and then Tori's going to lead us in the doxology. And so let's bow our heads and pray. God, we just want to come before You. We thank You for Your love for us. We thank You for being a God that's always with us. You're with us no matter what. No matter where we are at in life. We may be on a mountaintop. We may be in a valley. We may be somewhere in between. There may be people in here that have known You for years. There may be people in here that have not known You at all. But we know that You are with all of us, and You desire for all of us to come to a relationship with You. And God, we're thankful that You take what the enemy meant for evil and You turn it for good. We can believe in that promise. And though we may be going through something that's hard, we may be not going through something that's hard, it doesn't matter where we're at. We know that the promise is that You're with us, and that You are wanting to shape us. You are desiring a relationship with You. And God, I just pray for each one in this room, that whatever they may go through or whatever may be coming their way, that they will have an even if faith, that they will be willing to stand firm and stand strong for You no matter what comes their way. And that we know that You will bless each one of us for that in the end, whether it is something in this life or whether it is in the life to come and have an eternity with You. And that's going to be a great day, God. We thank You for Your love for us. And thank You for all that You do. Help us to honor You with our lives and with everything we do. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.